I'm surely glad that you're here this morning, and we look forward to this last message from this series for our Christmas time. A little bit of a different time frame for the Christmas day in the middle of the week, and so I preached a three-part message on Christmas this year. Began on the morning of the 15th, and then preached a second message last Sunday, and I'll finish it up, Lord willing, this Sunday. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, this was our springboard for the messages. If you've not seen them by way of live stream or have been here, you can pick them up on sermon audio. They get updated as to the messages that we deliver here in the pulpit and so forth. And so I do want to encourage you along these lines. Let me say one more thing, too, in addition to the announcements that were made. Perhaps you are looking for an end-of-the-year location for your gift-giving. Let me encourage you, if you've not participated yet in our Christmas offering for our missionaries and church planters, you note in the bulletin the need there and what we'd like to do for each and every one of them. And so if you've not yet made an end-of-the-year or Christmas gift, I know that it is a great place to focus your energies and funding. We have a missionary family that is comprised of about 275 different missionaries that we help support. And then we have nine or so families that are directly out of our church and sent by FBT. And then we have about 15 church planters as well and a number of other Christian organizations that assist us in fulfilling the work of the Lord. So you'll note those things in the bulletin. And if you've not yet made an end-of-the-year gift, then if I could encourage you to direct it that way. You only have a couple of days left. We have the services tonight and then tomorrow and Tuesday as far as it being done by the end of the year. But if I could encourage you in those ways, I know that would be a great encouragement to the missionary families that we send send Christmas gifts to. John chapter 10, this was our springboard for the Christmas season. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come." The Bible is definitive in its description, both in prophecy and in reality, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived here as a man, 100% God, 100% man, 100% of the time. He is come. Jesus declared, "I am come." It was prophesied to Mary. It was prophesied to Joseph. And we see all of the prophecies in the Old Testament. And Jesus says, "I am come." Well, why? Why did Jesus come? Well, the Bible gives us two of the matters here in this verse. "I am come that ye might have life." It is my prayer that everybody that's gathered here in the auditorium and everyone that's listening via live stream, it is my prayer that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Is that your testimony this morning? There's been a time in your life where you repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're not saved by religion. There's no amount of work that you and I can do to earn salvation, if I could insert this too. If we did earn our salvation, heaven wouldn't be heaven. Because the moment that we arrived, everyone would be proclaiming what they had done to be there and why you don't deserve to be there. No doubt you'd look over the streets of heaven and you'd say, "How did that guy make it? No way. I mean, I lived alongside of that guy. There's no way that he deserves to be here." And you know what? If that were the case, if we arrived in heaven based upon what we have done, it would not be heaven. You and I can't stomach being around someone like that here on earth, much less being with them for all eternity. Literally, do you find yourself saying, if that's what heaven would be like, we'd be roaming the streets saying, "Oh, don't let them see me." But no, when we arrive home in heaven, we arrive there because of one thing. Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross of Calvary. He paid it all. He paid the entire debt. He paid for my sins, and not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus Christ declares, "I am come that ye might have life." Do you have life this morning? If you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, then today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. He also says, I am come that ye might have life more abundantly. We sang about that just a few minutes ago as Jesus declares those attributes. He said, I am the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we looked at that last Sunday, and we looked at this matter as it relates to the believer. Not only does the believer have eternal life in heaven awaiting them, but the believer has the best avenue for living life on this side. Now, there are those that just live in constant misery. I don't know about you, but in interacting with places of commerce and delivery individuals and people that come to take care of things at our houses and stuff like this, it's interesting how many times people try to avoid offending anyone in what they say, but everyone knows what they really want to say. So you check out at the place of commerce and they're saying, have a great opportunity for days off from work this week. You know, and you're like, what? Merry Christmas! You know, and everybody's just trying to find some avenue. And a guy was at our house and he was doing our bug duty there around the house and everything like this. Every couple of months they come and they just spray and so forth. And he's like, have a happy holiday. And I mean, it was just drawn out like that. I'm like, hey, have a Merry Christmas, man. He's like, oh, yes, have a Merry Christmas, you know? And I'm like, listen, this is the best life. I'm not just celebrating a day off from work. I'm celebrating the birth of my Savior. And it is a wonderful time of the year. And so it's not just a holiday. It's not just a day in which, oh, I don't have to go into work. I'm hoping that I get the extra hours or whatever and so forth. It is a day to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, my life on this side in Christ is so much more than I could ever deserve. And the Bible says that Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I pray that your life is an abundant life in Christ. But there's a third thing that I want to show you this morning. It's a third part to this message. And if you take your Bibles and you go with me to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and I want to show you a third part of this. He says, I am come that ye might have life. I am come that ye might have life more abundantly. We've looked at that over the course of the last two Sundays, and perhaps you missed one of them. So go back and listen to that on sermon audio. And I pray that it be a blessing as you consider life and abundant life. But I want to go to a third aspect of this, and it's in John chapter number 20 and verse number 21. This is after the resurrection, and this is the Lord interacting with the disciples. This is one of the five times that we see in the Word of God the Great Commission. We find it in each of the Gospels, and it's stated in different ways in the Gospels, but I believe that this is very appropriate. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So again, walking back through this, Jesus says, I am come that ye might have life. Jesus says, I am come that they might have it, that life more abundantly. And then Jesus declares here in the passage, I am come because the Father hath sent me. The Father has sent me. And then he goes on to say, as the Father has sent me, even so, send I you. We ask ourselves this question, why? Why did God send the disciples? Why does God send you and I into this world? Well, I'm going to entitle the message this morning, this third part, Go, Show, and Tell. Go, show, and tell. One of my favorite days in grade school was show and tell. I don't remember when it was, but it's probably a month or two ago. It was right after the beginning of the school year, if I'm not mistaken. Mrs. Bradford can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was passing her classroom, and I believe it was this year, but I could be wrong. My memory's fading. You know how that is. All right. And I passed the classroom, and they were getting ready for show and tell time. And so, that perks my ears. And I love walking around the school and just interacting with the students and interacting with the young people as they're coming and going. And, hey, what are you up to? And why are you back there in that darkness? No, that would never happen. But I love to interact with the kids. I love to see what they're up to. And when I pass the news of show and tell, I'm telling you, that's my favorite day. I love show and tell. I wish every Sunday morning I would just have show and tell. I would just bring some different stuff, and I'd say, hey, you got to look at this cool thing. One of my favorite things to ever go and show and tell was my G.I. Joe. I love G.I. Joes. One of my favorite things about God blessing our home with boys is that I could buy them stuff like that for Christmas and not feel bad about it. All right? Now, I'm not talking about these little shrunken G.I. Joes. That's ridiculous. All right? Why does G.I. Joe have such a mad look on his face? Was he shrunk from 12 inches to 4 inches? You'd be mad too. All right? So there's an entire generation of kids that grow up thinking that G.I. Joe is 4 inches tall, and he's not. He's 12 inches tall, and he has action figure arms and action figure legs. And I love the opportunity to take my G.I. Joe to show and tell. Man, oh man, you put him in the backpack. Oh, this is going to be awesome. And the teacher says to you, okay, Todd, it's your turn for show and tell. And you're like, oh man, this is going to be the best. And so I bring out my G.I. Joe. Now, in this day and age, to be politically correct, he'd have a frying pan and he'd have other things, and we just cook our way into peace and everything like that. But in the day that I grew up, we've got a few other items that G.I. Joe contains. And man, I love showing off G.I. Joe. I love showing off his wrists and his arms and how his legs could be put into motion and everything like this. And man, he was the best. And then I didn't bring this for show and tell, but I had a Ford Bronco that he could sit in. It had the gas tank and the changeable tires. I'm telling you, I love to have that G.I. Joe all fully dressed and changing his boots and his uniforms and everything like this. This was the best. Show and tell. But I also loved it when other people would bring in stuff for show and tell. Now, I didn't always think that their stuff was as good as the G.I. Joe that I brought in. But I was always interested in seeing what they brought in, just as I was that day with the preschool class and what this youngster had brought in. Why? Because this was something that was important to them. Perhaps it was a toy, perhaps it was some kind of item or something that they had built or something along those lines. Sometimes they'd even bring in like a hamster and they'd show the hamster or something along those lines. And they'd say, oh, I got to show you my hamster. I've got to show this or that. It is awesome to hear from them. This is what I want to show you. This is what I want to tell you about. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back up into heaven. And he says, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. Why? In his absence, we have a responsibility to show and tell. Now, perhaps, again, if I went around the room, there are some individuals that would stand this morning and they'd say, oh, Pastor, I want to show and tell what I got for Christmas. There'd be some excited young people that would say, oh, I want to show and tell what I received in my Christmas stocking or in my Christmas presents. Or perhaps some adults that would say, I want to stand and show and tell what I have from Christmas, and I'm so excited about this new outfit, this new tie, this new sweater, or perhaps you're not that excited about it, and so that's why it's already in the back of your closet, all right? I don't know how that turns out, but you're excited to show and tell something, and I wonder this morning if we're that excited to show and tell about our Savior. If we don't do it, who will? I want to walk through those two things very quickly this morning and deal with the matter of showing and telling. In a grand and spiritual sense, God has gone back to heaven and he has left us here to show and tell. Well, number one, what are we to show? Well, I believe, first of all, we are to show his character. His character. In Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, the Bible says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now understand with me that our nicknames were not given to us as terms of endearment. They were given to us as terms of derision. And so down through the ages, all the way back to Christ and his disciples, when they gave them a term, it was not a term that said, "Oh yes, we love these people." No, it was a term of derision, and they identified them and said, "Oh, look at those little Christs. Look at those followers of Jesus. Oh, there they go again, preaching and teaching. Let's throw the lot of them into prison because we're so fed up with their message of their Christ." But they identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were obviously known. They were followers of Christ. They were little representatives of the real thing. Now, you and I are not perfect. We will never be perfect replicas of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have issues. We all have issues. We all deal with the flesh. We all deal with matters in this wrestling match between our flesh and our spirit. But if there is an opportunity for someone to demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be found and should be found in the lives of Bible-believing Christians. Show and tell. I believe we ought to show forth his character. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to Galatians chapter number 5? Galatians chapter number 5, I think this verse sums up the types of things that we should show forth from the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, when you come to the earlier verses, you find the works of the flesh. And when we transition from the works of the flesh, we come to what are known as the fruits of the Spirit. These are the things that Almighty God would have us to show forth. Why? Because he showed them all forth perfectly. Galatians chapter 5, would you look at these with me for a moment? As we think about showing forth the character of God, you think about your own life, I will think about my life, and then you insert your name into this verse and say, "Okay, yes, I'm doing God's desire in fulfilling the showing of these fruits." Look what the Bible says. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Let me ask you this question. Did Christ love everyone perfectly? The answer is yes. So let me ask you this. If love is going to truly be demonstrated in this world, who should it be shown from first? Bible-believing Christians. Bible-believing Christians. Are we willing to love the unlovely? Are we willing to love those that would despise us? Are we willing to love those that would hate us? Are we willing to exercise biblical love to those that are outside of the faith? The next word, joy. Do you really have joy in your life? You know, it'd be pretty hard to recommend to someone else that they get what you have if it's made no impact on your life. So if you're a believer or claim to be a believer and you're walking around in utter misery and you're then going around at Christmas time, "Hey, joy of the holidays, celebrating the birth of Christ, just wanted to give this to you. Not much good in the world at this time, but, you know, whatever." And you're singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come, yippee, yippee, yippee." Why is someone going to want that? They're more likely going to say, "Hey, please don't get too close. I don't want to get any of that on me. I'm happy." The truth of the matter is that believers should have the most joy in life. Believers should have the most energy in life. Now, I know in watching the games yesterday, if you are a fan of one of the teams that lost, it is a difficult time to have joy. Snuggle up to a Redskin fan. They'll assist you going through this traumatic time. It's no problem. But, I mean, there are some that, I mean, after last night, because of the loss in the two games, I mean, there are some that just, "Well, my joy is gone. It's gone." Well, for the believer, Our joy is in a consistent Christ, and he's always the same. Is this what's being demonstrated by your life? Is this shown forth in the people that you interact with? We go forth. The Bible says love, joy, peace. You know, there are some individuals that love life when there's no peace anywhere. And I'm just like, oh, man, I can't take this. I pray for those of you that serve on Capitol Hill. I do not know how you endure it. I do not know how you keep going back and back and back into that arena of spiritual warfare. We have to take your name before the Lord in prayer because you're fighting a difficult fight, and it is clear that there is little to no peace to be found. If one side says the sky is blue and the other side will surely say, no, it's not blue, it's orange. There is constant upheaval. They're always working their avenues to make sure that the other party is not at peace and has no reason for gloating because they've been victorious in some kind of an arena of success. But you know, really, the believer should be at peace. The believer should be at peace in their marriage. The believer should be at peace in their family. The believer should be at peace with their interactions in their neighborhood. The believer should be identified with peace. As much as lieth within us, live peaceably with all men. I want to be at peace. I believe if we're going to demonstrate the character of Jesus Christ, these are the kinds of things that ought to show forth. Long suffering. Oh, that's me, Pastor. I've been suffering long. Long suffering. Are you patient? Do you demonstrate patience? Gentleness. Are we gentle in our responses to people? I was in line at Walmart down in Woodbridge, and I was just buying a couple of little items, and it's hard for me to say, here in the Washington, D.C. area. Customer right in front of me in a long line. Whew. Had a Pittsburgh Penguin sweatshirt on. Pastor, no, I didn't call myself Pastor. Todd, it's Christmas. Be at peace. Be at peace. Pittsburgh Penguins, I cannot stand them. Be at peace. Be at peace. Long line. We're going to be here forever. This is taking forever. Oh, my goodness, the lady's got 40 items in the 20-item or less line. Oh, they have to scan them. Oh, no, she just turned on the light, and she has to ask for a supervisor. Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. I can't go any longer. So, you're from Pittsburgh. Yes, I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm like, yeah. See that by the Penguins sweatshirt. You like the Penguins, huh? Yes, my son plays hockey. Oh, no. You want him to grow up to be a Penguin, too. Oh, my goodness. This is terrible. How much longer can I endure this? This is terrible. I'm just kidding about all that. This really did happen, but I had a wonderful interaction with her. Isn't it just nice to be around people that are just gentle? I mean, there's people in this world. I mean, it's like they're walking through the store and driving their car to find the parking spot, and they're just waiting for you to knock some chip off their block. I mean, just chomping at the bit for you to do something that cuts off their parking space or that gets in front of them or whatever. And I'm like, look, it's no problem. Just go ahead. It was interesting. The lady was buying some drinks for her son who plays sports. And so I was asking her about the drinks and everything like this. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is going to take forever because all those drinks have to be scanned individually. You know how that is. Beep. Beep. beep, you know, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of them were going to, I'm like, can't you just scan one and type in 25 and call it a day? No, you can't do that. Beep, you know, when that kind of stuff happens, doesn't it just start the back of your, the hair on the back of your neck just starts in? And you're like, oh my goodness. Okay, calm down. Just be at peace. You're going to suffer long for a time. But just being gentle. Have you passed anybody at 8 o'clock in the morning that's already honking their horn because you pulled out? And you're thinking to yourself, really? You're like this at 8 a.m.? What are you like at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon? If you're like this before you hit traffic, what are you going to be like when you're on your way home in traffic? And you're like, what about just being gentle? Hey, no problem. Go ahead and pull out there. What? I'm not letting anybody out in front of me. That will cause me to arrive 2 seconds later than I would have arrived anyway. All of these things, I believe, demonstrate the character of Almighty God. And yet, it's unlikely to find them in many, many believers. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is what ought to be shown in your life and my life. Why? Because Christ left us here to show his character. Can I give you a second thing that Christ left us here for? He left us here to show forth his character. But number two, I really believe that he left us here to show forth his compassion. His compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. You see, we are to be little representatives of Christ in all that we say and do. Whatever your place of work, are you a great representative for the Lord Jesus Christ in that place of work? Oh, well, Pastor, I can't carry my Bible at the place of work. My friend, you can be the living Bible in the eyes of other people. Well, I can't have my Bible out of my desk. I can't pray at lunch, or I don't dare talk of spiritual things. Listen, folks, if you will be any kind of light, you will shine forth in this darkening world. And the Bible says, listen, I've left you so that you can shine forth. Boy, we live and we work in some very difficult arenas. As I've already mentioned, the nature of D.C. and how difficult it would be to be a believer in that environment. What about the judicial system? Is there ever a time in the judicial system that a believer would be sitting there saying, I cannot believe this is the rule that is being passed, or this is the way that the decision is going to be passed down? Is there ever a time that a believer is serving in the military and would say, I cannot believe this is what I've been told that I have to do in my service for this country? I mean, time and again, the world is calling out from darkness, begging to see the light of Jesus Christ. And I'm not even saying that we have to bear a copy of this book under our arms everywhere we go. Just by being kind and gentle and good and full of love and long-suffering, you will shine forth in this day. And Jesus says that's why you're here, to show his character, his compassion. What are the ways that we can be compassionate? I think one of those ways is coming up here in the coming month. Boy, I rejoice when I hear of the people that have trusted Christ through the CareNet Center. And I rejoice of hearing of these babies' lives that have been delivered from death. Boy, that just thrills my heart. And I believe it's the greatest level of compassion that is demonstrated in saving the lives of these babies. I heard a report here recently that said in the last several years, the abortion industry is moving downward. And I say, praise God, because we're saving more and more lives. My mom-in-law has been involved with a company that's been doing this. She's been in it for, I think, about 20 years. And almost every time we're together, I ask her, hey, how's it going and what's happening? They're in Middle Pennsylvania and seeking to save lives. But there are so many other ways that you and I can demonstrate compassion. I thought this was pretty cool. Now, I don't know, I can't tell you anything more about this than just what I observed, but I thought this was pretty cool. As I pulled up to the stoplight, you know what happens when you pull up to a stoplight in our area, right? What's in the median? Someone with a cardboard sign that says, please help. And then sometimes they have it listed out as to why they need help and why they're in their circumstances. But in so many of our intersections, we have people that are there asking for help. And I'm telling you, there was a car in front of me this past week, and they passed out of their window a gift bag or basket that was full of like waters and snacks, and they handed it to the individual. Now, I have no idea what's going to happen to that basket, and I have no idea as to whether or not it met a huge need or whatever, but I was like, man, that had to be prepared. Someone had to be forward thinking and say to themselves, I pass these people all the time, and in this Christmas season, this is what I'm going to provide for them. Because as soon as the person came to their door, they rolled their window down and they gave out the basket. And I was like, I mean, the basket probably cost $1. The items that were in the basket probably cost $4, $5, $6. I mean, just little snacks and a couple of waters or something like that. But I thought, man, now that was forward thinking. Somebody thought forward and said, you know what? I'm going to do this for that person that's standing in the median. I don't know how God can use you to show compassion to someone else. But I tell you, if compassion is not demonstrated by believers, from whence will it come? We absolutely should demonstrate the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ as we show and tell. Number one, we are sent to show. I am told on a wall near the main entrance to the Alamo in San Antonio that there's a portrait with the following inscription: James Butler Bonham. No picture of him exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. No literal portrait of Jesus exists either. But the likeness of the Son who makes us free can be seen in the lives of his true followers. Jesus should be seen in every single one of us. Number one, we ought to show. We ought to show his character. We ought to show his compassion. Number two, would you go to one more thing with me this morning? Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I am come because the Father sent me, and now I'm sending you. I'm sending you to go forth and show, and I'm sending you forth that you might go and tell. Well, what do I tell people of? Well, I believe my first priority is to tell people of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We tell people that Christ died for them. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to pay my debt. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ endured the cruel trials. He endured the nature of the religious trials. He endured the nature of the secular trials. He endured all that they did to his body physically. He endured the full death of the cross. And he shed his blood that you and I might be reconciled to a holy God. Jesus was the only one that could do this. This morning, I'm in the same boat as every other sinner. I needed Jesus Christ. I have nothing that I can offer to anyone else that might assist them in their entrance into heaven. Having your name on the rolls of a Baptist church will never get you to heaven. having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life will make all the difference in eternity. Go and tell people of his crucifixion. And then number two, and I tell you what, this is becoming more and more evident, we go and tell people of his soon coming. Well, I tell you what, Jesus is coming is closer now than ever before. Now, we're going to make plans to go into 2020. Oh my, what are we going to experience in 2020? It's an election year. Yippee. That will be fun. It's a new decade, right? We head into the 2020s. We're going to see some interesting things. What technology will come out? Do you remember watching the old Get Smart show? And all the gadgets that Maxwell Smart had, and now we have all those gadgets now. And we're pretty much using our phones for shoes, right? You remember the Jetsons? And now we're looking at all those kinds of technologies now. I'm still waiting on the plane that becomes my briefcase. That would be pretty cool. Avoid traffic that way. That'd be pretty neat. We're seeing all of this technology unfold. We're seeing it just right before our very eyes. We're seeing things crafted in the nature of the relationship between nations. Jesus is coming soon. John chapter 14 in verse number 3, he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I don't know about you, but I just soon go in the rapture today. He says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be." The Lord is coming again, and his coming is very soon. The Apostle Paul thought he'd see the return of the Lord in his day. It's now been over 2,000 years. How much more should we be expecting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in our day? Our world lives with such a fascination for so many things that really don't matter in eternity. But I'm saying to you right now, my friend, that when Jesus returns, it is a deadline for mankind. At the rapture, I believe, according to the scriptures and according to prophetical events, at the rapture, God Almighty will call time in. And he will go back and again deal with the nation of Israel and all the nations of the world. The world will enter a time frame called the tribulation, a 7-year time period in which God will bring judgment to this earth like this earth has never seen before. Antichrist will unite forces against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Antichrist will do his very best to dethrone not only God's people, but the God of the Jews as well. Oh, while there will be millions that come to Christ during the tribulation because they had never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ before, there will be millions and billions that go into eternity without Jesus Christ. Are you ready for the return of the Lord? Are you telling people Jesus is coming again? Oh, I'm not talking about going and standing in the median and wearing that bread sign or that whatever, that sandwich sign, and walking up and down the street and Jesus is coming again kind of a thing. But I am saying that it ought to be coming from our mouth. And we ought to be letting our fellow man know that there is an appointment that all men will make and that they cannot avoid. There's a time frame in which all mankind will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. And so the Bible says, for you and for me, this is the time to tell them that they might be delivered. It's interesting to note, in the Gospel of Luke, that as the rich man had died and gone to hell, that his first focus was on what? Please send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and come and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. When Abraham said, I'm sorry, that's not possible because of the great gulf that was fixed, what was his second thought? His second thought was, well, if you can't send Lazarus to me, please send Lazarus back to my brothers and tell them the story, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. You and I have interactions with people on a daily basis. And at some point in time, you and I may be given an opportunity to say, you know what? There's a bigger matter in society than peace in the White House. There's a bigger matter in society or facing society than peace in the Capitol. There's a bigger matter facing society today than economic freedom and economic coverage. There's a bigger matter ahead than our health care coverage. There's a bigger matter ahead than our gas prices. There's a bigger matter ahead than taxes and the IRS. The bigger matter ahead, Jesus is coming. Would you hear me right now? There's not a thing that one world leader in this earth can do to stop the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will come no longer as the babe or the lamb born in the manger, but he will come of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he will have a name on his vesture that says Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Well, I tell you what, it gives me chill bumps just talking about it. Because I'd so much rather be alive for the rapture and be carried out by Jesus Christ than to have this old tabernacle carried out by six individuals. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Are you telling? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to rehearse these very familiar things. We know that you saved us and you left us here so that we might go and show and tell. And I pray this morning that if there be one today that does not know the Lord as their Savior, that today would be that special day that they're born again. Would you bring conviction to their heart over the nature of their sin? Would you show them this morning that religion does not save? A name on a church roll has never saved one individual. There's no amount of effort. There's no amount of works. There's nothing that I can do in and of myself to earn heaven. Perhaps there's someone this morning that needs to be saved. They are at this point unprepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd bring conviction to their heart. Perhaps they're a guest with us today. This is the first time that they've ever been in a church setting like this, but today they've been convicted. Would you draw them to yourself that they might be saved? And I turn my attention to believers today because we ought to live a more abundant life. There should be a vast difference in the way that we act and the way that we react. Boy, as the world gets ever darker, it doesn't take that much to be different. But this world stands in desperate need of light. And so I pray that we be faithful in showing the character of Christ and the compassion of Christ. And I pray that we be faithful in telling of his crucifixion and of his coming. I pray this morning with John the Revelator, Lord Jesus, come quickly. This may be the year that Jesus returns. Ultimate peace will come, but not at the hands of this world. It will come at the hands of the Prince of Peace. And I pray that we would all with one heart be convicted today where we have not been faithful representations of Christ. We've not had the action or the reaction that we should have as an image of the Lord. Would you help us, Lord, to be faithful in showing and telling? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We have a time of invitation here at FBT to respond to the Word of God and to say, okay, Lord, I want you to see my life. See if there be anything in my life that is not a faithful representation of you. Perhaps it's in your relationship, in your home. Okay, where have you dropped the ball in representing Christ in your home? Young people, do you represent Christ in your home? Adults, do you represent Christ in your home? What about the workplace? Are you a faithful representation of Christ? Are you a sermon in shoes? I pray this morning that all of us would be convicted. Say, Lord, you know what? If you've left me here for a reason, I want to fulfill that purpose. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists this morning to play Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Number 494 is God works in each life. If you don't know Christ, would you step out and come? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Believer, if God has struck a chord with some aspect of this, or struck in your heart and mind an individual in which you've not shown forth Christ, you'd say, Pastor, I need to go back to them, and I need to show forth the light of Christ. Maybe you'd pray for them this morning. However the Lord may be directing, would you just say this morning, Lord, I want you to have your way in my life. Young people in the coming year, you know Christ? Okay. Will you walk in his path? In your different school settings, oh my, how we could speak to the need of light in all of our schools across the county and state and country. For all of our teachers that teach and help and assist in so many different settings around the county. Oh, you have a great opportunity to influence children and parents to be a sermon in shoes. May not be a designated time of show and tell, but on a daily basis you can show forth Christ. You can tell people what he's done for them. Anyone at all, you'd say, Pastor, I'm not saved this morning. I'd love to come to know Jesus Christ. It's Christmas. It's the time of receiving gifts. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today's the day to receive the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. One more stanza this morning. We pray, do what the Lord would have you to do. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach through these three different things over these 3 weeks, to be able to have kind of an extended time in focusing in on the Christmas season, We understand the nature of your coming. You came that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. You've gone away for a time. You've left us here for a purpose. It's not as though we trust Christ as our Savior and we're immediately taken home to heaven. No, you've left us here on this earth that we might show and tell. And I pray, Father, that we be faithful in that grand opportunity each and every day. As we go forth from this place into a lost and dying world, we're going to interact with people in places of commerce, in places of business. We're going to interact with coworkers and employers and employees. We're going to interact with coworkers. We're going to interact with lost people again and again and again. It may be a very brief interaction. I pray that they would see a difference in us. It may be that we can just leave them with a simple invitation or a simple track, but we'd be given opportunity to point them to Christ. We may never meet again with that person this side of heaven, but I sure pray that we'd be faithful representations of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we'd exhibit that love, joy, peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness that was seen every time people looked at Christ. Would you bless us as we dismiss, as we go away one from another? Would you protect each one? Would you be with the needs that are upon the hearts of our church family, relatives that have passed, relatives that are in difficult health situations, trials of financial issues? Lord, would you meet each of these circumstances even today? Bless and direct our dear church family, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.